On today's show, Potts had somebody cancel plans on him. It's the best part of his week. Can't wait to talk to you about that. We had a phone call here at Studio A that, I don't know, Belly, it blew his mind. It's the third time I've had a conversation like this. It didn't freak me out. It certainly freaked him out. We have to share it with you. It does touch on one of the three things you're never supposed to talk about. That is sex, politics, and what we will maybe just touch on today, which is religion. I will not send you off the cliff, folks. You just have to hear what happened to us just 24 hours ago right here at Studio A. So strap it on. It's Looch Dog in the Morning.
Yo, what's up, y'all? This is Skater D.
Hey, I'm John Charles Meyer, producer of Dave Made a Maze.
Hey, what's up? This is Scott Lodotti, author of Play the Devil, and you are listening to Looch Dog.
Looch Dog.
Looch Dog.
This is Andy fucking Cruz from SiriusXM 415, and you're listening to Looch Dog in the Morning.
Number one podcast in the world. Yeah, boy.
Welcome back, folks. Oh, man. Big show for you guys today. And it's finally the end of the week. Happy Friday! So welcome to the show, my wonderful friends. How are we feeling on another Friday? Belly Matt LaBelle joins me in studio. What's up, dude?
What's up? Good to be here. If you'd, I'm ready to go.
Okay, sounds good. We don't have Braxton Blue, so we're a little bit out of sorts today, which is fine, because Matty Potts woke up super energetic.
Greetings and salutations.
That's about as perfect as it gets, dude. Yes, he is struggling. And we are too, but not me. No. I woke up ready to just shoot myself out of a cannon. And so I'm very excited to do that with all you guys. Go ahead and switch that scene, if you will. Belly's doing a lot today, and it is time to take it off of his camera. He's just going to leave it on his camera the whole show.
Me. Only me. me.
Bots, what's up, man? Do you want to do 30 seconds of therapy? Are you okay this morning?
Yeah, I'm just tired AF.
What is the deal, dude? Listen, do we need to start paying you here so that you can quit the other job and have a little more energy in the
morning? Which job? Potts does like 18 jobs.
Yeah. I'd say one job you can't afford me and one job you're paying me exactly what I'm making at the other job, which is nothing.
Dude, let me ask you that, because a lot of people, we got into your trials and tribulations as a business owner and entrepreneur. I go down that road too, and I was very inspired by you, who, again, if you're just listening, he turned down a $350,000 paycheck to say, nah, I'm good. I want to go start my own business, which, you know, if you're starting your own business, typically that's not going to make money for the first couple years. So I'm not
so
asking.
So far, it's been five.
It's been five so far.
Well, I've been back in the States for five, but you're talking about, I'm on my second restaurant, so.
Do you want to tell Belly about Sumo Salad, or is that not for air?
I don't know. Yeah, we had Sumo Salad and it didn't work.
But the details behind it are unbelievable with the mall. Can you talk about that at all? Or is that something that you don't want to do?
Whatever. Yeah, we were paying like $13,000 in rent. And
Hold on. Before you go into it, you came back from that $350,000 paycheck and you started something that was a franchise, right? It's a franchise?
Yeah. I was at Marquis Sydney in Australia, not making $350,000, but making far off of it, pretty damn well, more than I'd ever been making. And then they had offered me Marquee Singapore, which anyone who knows me living in Singapore would have been literally a kid in a candy store if the candy store was hot Asian chicks. But I was married at the time. So whatever, I didn't take it. And I took this franchise, Sumo Salad, to the States with my business partner, Scoots, who is still my business partner, shockingly enough. And we failed in a year, mainly because we were in the wrong location. I mean, location, location, location. It's not just a cliche. It's true. And our rent was $13,000. It went up to $18,000 once Nordstrom opened in this mall. And once Nordstrom opened, like the waters were going to part, the money was going to start rolling in, and that definitely did not happen.
Well, wait, because you said that, you're saying that because that's what the mall was telling you, right? Weren't they giving you 100%. Certain projections? And like, I mean, because that's why I wanted to bring this up. I know there's a lot of people out there that want to do their own thing. Not only is location important with whatever you're doing, you got to really trust the information you're beginning, because you got to understand he's been told by the people that are renting him, to him, the mall, this is the foot traffic you can expect. This is what you can expect when Nordstrom comes out. And I mean, what, it's on him when that doesn't happen.
Right. And not only that, but they were putting $450 million into the mall. So it wasn't all talk. Like, the mall was literally being built around. I mean, it was already there, but like being rebuilt around us. And so it was super easy to get excited and jump on the whole bandwagon and basically like drink the punch. And when it didn't happen, I went to them and was like, what's going on? They're like, and they literally looked at me like I was crazy. They're like, the demographic doesn't change overnight, Maddie. And I'm like, but literally our rent did. Literally.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like our rent was going up in increments. Our rent changed overnight. And with our business loans, it was at $25,000 a month, which is absurd. Anyone who like, you know, has any idea of rent. I mean, right now our rent is $3,300. So literally $3,300 versus $25,000. So we failed real fast. And I mean, that is, you want to talk about looking death in the face. I mean, literally $25,000 a month when you're not paying it. And after 2 months, $50,000, 3 months, $75,000. And we're paying like sales. We employed 25 people. We went through 75 employees in a year, which is why anyone who listened to the last week or last show 2 days ago is why I get so heated, because when you're spending that kind of money and you're employing that many people, it's real hard to listen to someone's opinion that doesn't own a business. And mm-hmm. not saying that you don't get an opinion, but it's just, it's an opinion that's very one-sided, you know?
So I guess I wanted to ask you, and maybe you're understanding what I'm doing right now. As we got into pre-show, I see that Potts is about to fall asleep. So I say in my head, how can I engage him immediately? Which is what I'm doing right now. And I appreciate you telling this stuff. What kind of person should look to become an entrepreneur, and what kind of a person should maybe say, this isn't for me? Because, you know, everybody wants to work for themselves. Everybody and their mother wants to work for themselves.
Make the American hours, dream. All I can say is the American dream can turn into the American nightmare real fucking fast. Two, the government is just is like dealing with the mafia. And I say that meaning, like, if you owe sales tax, you can't declare bankruptcy and get it. They don't give a shit. Instead of breaking your legs, they'll take your fucking house.
Yep.
Instead of, you know, like putting your feet in cinder blocks, they will follow you until you pay them, and like a loan shark, like they can attach themselves to any future earnings, and there's nowhere to hide.
So, Belly, what do you think is the trait that would make a successful entrepreneur then?
Persistence.
That's a good one.
Let's see. I mean, it's more about the it's the unwillingness to give up. I mean, it's the fact of the matter is every day will be a struggle for you to start off this business. It's a lot of red. It's a lot of loss in the first couple of years most of the time.
Now, it wasn't for me at all. It wasn't for me at all.
Well,
I mean, I was just swimming in green. And I'm not saying this to be an ass. I'm saying this because I did it a different way. And I don't think he had the opportunity to do that.
Let me just say a couple things. One, Belly has half of it right, because I was going to say 100%. It takes persistence and patience. It's a balance between being nailing it every single day, but also being patient because you're nailing it every single day and nothing's happening half the time.
Right.
So that he's absolutely right.
Is not
the
moving.
Second thing with you had a different business model, which is right off bat, zero overhead.
Yes,
which
exactly.
is the way to do it.
Exactly.
And that's why, you know, a lot of food trucks and stuff, which food trucks actually do have a huge amount of overhead with the price of gas, but you did it because you're working out of your home and you can essentially just wait for the business to come to you. His obviously customer, you're not waiting for the business to come to you, but different. If you do, you're not spending, I mean, you could even rent the equipment that you're using on a monthly basis. So if your business doesn't work, you're not going to get sued.
Absolutely.
So
right. What he's
talking about two very, I'm sorry.
Wait, no. And that's why I brought it up. Not to brag and say I did it right. I'm saying because there was a way different way of doing it that I was afforded. I wasn't something that I was just like, I think this is the way to go. I already had a job, so it wasn't like I was counting on it to pay my bills. So that was number one. It was a job that I knew I wanted to quit, but I was going to stay with it until I was off my feet with my other one. And then the other thing is, yeah, he's absolutely right. I bought the absolute minimal amount of equipment that I could do to do a BS like birthday party gig, and then took all that money, since I was already making money from someone else, like from another job, I just took all that money and spent it towards what else I needed. And that I probably did that for 4 or 5 gigs, and then I realized, well, I have everything I need now. Now every penny that comes in is either mine or the tax man.
And so I guess my first of all, the amount of persistence and willingness to fail is huge that you need to do this, because now I'm trying to set up a market in LA. I've already paid for advertising out there. I'm trying to split my time between East Coast and West Coast. Now that we have Belly running the East Coast office, we've got Potts out there in the West Coast office. We're really doing big things here, but I started paying now almost $300 a month to be promoting myself in LA, and you better be damn right every morning I wake up and I don't have an email from an LA bride. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? Like, it's a scary fucking thing, dude. It really is.
But you can pull the plug at any minute. You're reinvesting in yourself, so that's never a bad thing. And I mean, that's what we're doing as well, which is why we're not paying ourselves. I mean, Scott, my business partner, has been bartending at this club for 5 years since we moved here. And I've always told him, I'm like, that you're lucky. Like, and he comes to work like a zombie and he hates it. But I'm like, dude, that bartending is a gift. And now that I've been lucky enough to have it, I don't think I've been ever so grateful for a job. And I mean, obviously I've had really great career and jobs in nightclubs, but I've all of the nightclub gigs, this has like, it's led me to get this job that I feel like I really deserve, but it's a bartending job, but it's fucking cash.
Well, and that's the thing, Potts. The thing with bartending that's huge is it's the instant gratification at the end of the night. You know how much you made, you know how much you got, you know how well you did right off the bat. And usually you're pretty vindicated in those feelings about being confident in your skills, being confident in the job, because you're right off the bat, like saying, all right, you're just vindicated because you're being basically told how good you are by how much you're making
or bad.
But I'm not bad.
Have you ever had hold on, Belly. I know you're great at this. I know I sound like my shit doesn't stink on a DJ floor. Yes. I've made mistakes. Have you ever had a night where you're just like, I don't have it tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. it's funny. Like, there are times where, like, I've had guests complain about my particular service.
What they complain about? I want to know a complaint about you.
Well, a guy said I completely ignored him for 45 minutes.
He just wanted to complain.
But here's the thing. I don't remember. I'm very good about. I don't remember him at all. I'm fairly good at remembering people.
Yeah.
But as soon as, like, and I apologized to this guy face to face because I was there the next night. And I was told he complained about me. And I said, sir, I just wanted to approach you and let you know that I apologize for any service that I didn't provide for you. And that's not usually how I'm doing things. And
you looked him in the eye. You wore it. You were self-aware.
But I'm looking him in the eye and I'm like, I don't remember. I don't remember you at all.
That's why you ignored him.
And then he couldn't tell me what day he was actually there. And then he couldn't tell me what drink I actually served him. Exactly. And then he couldn't tell me all this stuff about our transaction. I'm like, so when did this happen?
You sure it was me, bud. You sure it was me? Wasn't me. But here's the thing, dude. Here's the thing, Potts. Oh boy, this is when bartending comes in huge. First of all, shout out to the Social Media Lounge. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. We appreciate you being here. And of course, actually, do you have your music up right now?
I can.
Can we have celebration music? Can I get game show music?
Sure.
Because we have already done the $100. We said we were going to do 8 of them in June. I didn't realize there was 9, so my budget is gone. So congratulations, everybody who won the $100. However, congratulations to the Freeloaders Softball Spring Champs 2018, Mo Jevons.
Oh, congrats, Mo Jevons.
I sat in for one game with him, broke my ass, and had to be carted off the field.
You wouldn't be the first person that stepped in.
Yeah. What is up with that, dude? Everybody who steps in on his games gets hurt.
Yeah, I had a buddy, like, basically almost tear his ACL playing and pick up softball with Joe Evans. But, yeah, they usually, it's funny, they've been getting better and better. When I met Joe 7 years ago, his team was kind of not great. They didn't win a lot of games, but they just had fun doing it. This year, they're champs. They won 18 games, only had 2 losses. Good for them.
Guests complain that Belly's eyes are too blue.
Impossible. I was wearing a green shirt that day. They were green.
Social Media Lounge, whose mic would you like hotter? I know Potts is a little bit soft today. Whose mic would you like a little bit hotter? Just let me know.
So hot.
So hot right now. I think it's probably Potts. So just so you guys know, if I put his voice too loud, look what happens.
No. Hello? No.
That's what happens. So I am right before that. That's about as loud as I can get him. For it to be okay on the live stream on the podcast. Not for you. Your voice is silky smooth. And you know what? He put it to use yesterday.
Did I? Oh, yes.
We got to do this. Pool. Can we do this?
Yeah, we can.
This is okay for air, right?
Went to the pool yesterday.
Oh, but there's a reason. I forced him to go. And I am so, can I just say I'm so proud of you? I didn't force you to do anything. I just sat in your ear going, go, go. You have to go. If I was here, I'd go. I can't do it. I got to go. You got to go.
I got to go.
So let's explain to people what's going on. Potts, we live, our window, this window you guys see right here, outside those trees right there is the pool. We overlook the pool. So when people come in, they're like, whoa, what a view. It's amazing.
But
why is my chat disconnected? I'm out. I'm out of the social media lounge. I'm sorry. So anyway, the view is amazing. Yes, that's true. But what they forgot to tell us is that, oh, yeah, from noon to 8, you know, Tuesday through Sunday, you're just going to hear kids screaming and yelling and playing. So we're like,
which actually isn't that bad. The other thing I've noticed is not a lot of people are going to the pool.
Yeah, the pool's really not huge in apartment complexes like this because you don't have a ton of kids in apartment complexes, right, Potts? Like you only got like singles and then like older folks, I would imagine.
I've seen a lot of kids in the neighborhood.
Potts, would you say that there are you should expect more or less kids than normal in a typical apartment complex?
Well, here you'll expect more because the cost of living is so high. There are literally, like baby mama and I are moving to an apartment complex and there's family. I mean, we're moving there because we're having a baby.
Okay, but you're, that's, gated community. Okay, yeah.
I'm just saying here, you're at like, she already lives in an apartment. I went there yesterday in the middle of the day to get the mail. There was kids in her pool. And it's because, like I said, that people, it's all people can afford, a lot of people. I live in a studio right now. There's families that live in these studios here.
Can you give us, is it possible for you to give us a swivel of your camera just to see? Can you go back to his screen? Is that even possible? Go to his screen, Belly. So like, this is his whole apartment.
Yeah. It's like, I can show you the whole thing. Like,
we'll just take a walk through Potts' entire apartment. That's it. Do you have a kitchen?
There's no oven. There's a little stove.
There's one door and it goes into his apartment.
That's the front door. Oh my God. That's literally it.
Dude, it's a dorm room.
So when I come to visit, I'll hang out in the closet.
No, I'll already be moved into baby mama place who has a one bedroom that's way bigger, and my futon will be there, which is super freaking comfortable. It's a queen size bed.
Sweet.
So no, you're coming at the perfect time. Yes. You'll be fine.
I can't wait. All right, let's do this. Belly is gonna pull up some tunes. Not yet though. Okay. I know you're doing a lot. You want me to do outro tunes?
I'm good.
Okay. So I'll tease this and then we'll get into it in the next segment because this was awesome. I want you guys to picture. Now, we're used to sitting on our couch looking to the right and there's the pool.
Yep.
Okay. Beyond the pool is a basketball court. There is tons of entertainment at all times for us. I'm talking squirrels running through the trees. I'm not going to lie. If you have cut down a Christmas tree recently and then you're just watching squirrels run through the trees, that's pretty fun. I'm just saying. I'm like, oh, he's gonna jump. He's gonna fall. He can't make that. He made it. Oh my God. Like I'm sitting there watching it like it's like the best thing on TV.
But you stare out your window watching squirrels.
Oh, you come over here and have a Christmas tree with me and then tell me these squirrels aren't amazing.
He does that constantly.
I love it, dude. It's great. You'll sometimes see me. I just stand up and I'm just like standing out the window. I'm looking out the window, standing
there. Staring out the window. No one's out there but squirrels. And he's just wondering what life would be like if he was a squirrel.
Right. Well, and this is also another great comparison of our business models. I'm staring at a stack of bills about to cry. And this asshole is literally staring out the window at squirrels. At squirrels. I want to, like, literally leave the show right now. I'm like, oh my God, I hope I make it to tomorrow. Lucha's like, I want to be a squirrel.
He wants to go stand on the freeway in the center and see how long it takes till he gets completely obliterated by a truck.
Mommy, I'm a squirrel. Oh, that's great. Have I told you about Boys Day in China, my sweet little angel? God damn it.
Me and squirrels today have had a great time. If I was anything, I'd be a squirrel.
Guys, I can't tease the next story if I'm crying from laughter, but that is a good alternative.
It wasn't squirrels that got me down to the pool.
Hey, Belly, want to get stoned and pretend like we're fucking squirrels?
I'm not fucking any
kind
of squirrel.
Tag it.
That's the time
jump.
You don't use the F word.
Yeah.
Squirrels don't curse, Belly. Sorry.
No, I'm saying I'm not fucking squirrels.
Oh.
All right, these two are exactly where I need them. Now we will get to the funny and why Belly had to go down the pool. I would have beat his ass if I could. He would have stomped me, but I'm very proud of him. We'll talk about it next.